Hello and welcome to the final segment of Team Tachi-I's Aki 2022 podcast. We're going to talk about the upcoming tournament, and with me is our man in foreign lands, Josh. Say hello, Josh.
Konnichiwa, Josh.
Andy, say hello, Andy.
Hello, Andy.
All right, very good. So back to our traditional openings, we are now going to talk about the tournament. and I think I want to launch this with a very special Genki report, because it's time to talk about something silly. And yes, we're back to the subject of COVID Kyujo. None other than Isigahama Oyakata has tested positive for COVID-19. Now, he claims he was not around any of his deshi, none of the Rikishi, which is like, yeah, go ahead and pull the other one. What are you doing, coach, if you're not in the Heiho with your troopers? But it's like, please don't make Terano Fuji sit out. We talked in earlier segments about how heavy-handed, brutal, and all-conquering this COVID-zero policy is by the Kyokai. Are they really going to make the Yokozuna sit on the bench? Josh, take it away.
I hope not. I don't know if Terano Fuji lives. I presume that he doesn't, because I think he's got his own family life. But I think the report of Isagahama having COVID is obviously a bit worrying, because obviously it was not one of the stables that was impacted in the previous Basho. I think that we were certainly much the better for that. The fact that they were able to compete for the whole 15 days because they have so many talents in the top division, not least the Yokozuna. We know how these things work. We know that infections may not show up until a little bit later, but there isn't that much later to go until the tournament. So as I mentioned in one of the other segments that we did, I was pretty discouraged by the way that I felt Terano Fuji really kind of threw away that that Yusho last time out, and I think he's professional enough to shake it off and go again. The only question is, will he be able to?
An excellent question, Andy, and that question's for you.
Yeah, I think he's going to stick it out. And
will the Kyokai allow Isigahama Stable to compete?
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Unless any of the top Rikishi start developing symptoms between now and then and get retested, I think that Isegahama's test came, I think, right before the general testing, in which case, I imagine that I don't think it's an excuse that he was away. I bet that he probably had been away for a few days and was not in contact with especially the Sekitori, who, like you said, probably have their own training and were on their own vacations kind of beforehand. So I wouldn't be surprised if it takes COVID a couple of days in order to show up as a positive if anybody caught it. And so if somebody caught it, I bet that they were tested before they caught it. And so I think that unless anybody develops symptoms between now and then, they're not going to have any issues. And then if somebody does develop symptoms, even now, like with the way that the CDC guidance is right now, we could still catch it now and be recovered in time to start next week. So I don't think that they're going to have any problems. And I think that there is a bit of a quiet opening with regard to the COVID testing. And I just think that the Kyokai is probably sliding more into the we need to live with this than the COVID zero policy that they had in the past and especially now that we've got the treatments and the tools and definitely a bit more of the knowledge and how to work with it than we did in the past.
The Kyokai has been ahead of the rest of Japan in terms of trying to live with it, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that their money depends on it, right? Yeah. Their money depends on them living with it. But, you know, Abi tested positive as well, and you know, after last tournament, I'm just really very concerned that we're going to have another, like, who shows up today? We really did sort of wear out the Cujo banner photo. I just stopped putting up. Just like, yeah, you know, preview, we're just going to make a list of everyone who's out now because it's no longer interesting or special. I would like to talk, however, about Shin Sekiwaki Horshoryu. In general, I think Horshoryu is pretty good. I have a little bit of problem with some of his attitude, which I think somebody's going to have to adjust him. But I know I'm in a minority with that. Most people are very big on Horshoryu. Andy, give us your thoughts.
Oh, I mean, he's another one of those guys like Kaisei who really enjoys, or at least he seems to enjoy fighting, and he seems to enjoy sumo, and that's, I guess, a something that draws people in a lot. And if he has, I guess, some of the less savory or
sugarcoating it
components to what his uncle, like, I guess that he can always just kind of, I don't know, blame Asashoryu for anything untoward. But no, I mean, Horshoryu, I've always enjoyed him, and his sumo is definitely very quality. I'm just not sure if he's quite the if he's going to last around Sekiwake for more than a tournament or two.
Well, we've been watching for a step change for a while now. Maybe he'll make it this time. Josh, I know you have a lot to say on Horshoryu. Please.
I do, and I wasn't even going to comment on his attitude, though I will say I've made comments about that.
I'm always going to comment on his attitude.
No, it's what you should. I mean, I've made comments about that before, and people who are like super fans are like, what are you talking about? It's like, how do you not watch this guy's behavior on the dojo and somehow find that to be beyond reproach? I don't know. But anyway, you know, to that end, I know I've been hard on Horshoryu on the site and comments and et cetera, but his career high, I would say, is exactly where it's supposed to be. The thing about sumo is, if you get a 4-3 every basho, and then an 8-7 every basho when you get to Sekitori, you will eventually get to Sekiwake. It's how it works. And so, you know, that's Horshoryu's performance level. He's won, I don't know if this is in Makuuchi or in Makuuchi Anjuryo, but 55% of his actual bouts at that level, excluding Fusensho and Fusenpai, it's in the top division.
Yep.
In the last 12 months, he's won 55% of his bouts. And in the last three tournaments, which is the amount of time that you're judged on to go to Ozeki, he's won 55% of the bouts in those tournaments as well. So he's consistent, but he's a little bit better than average. And I think the conflict here between what we think he is and what he actually is in terms of results comes with two caveats. The eye test, because he's exciting, probably tells us that he's probably going to be better than a 55% win guy
someday
at a certain point. And the standard of the division is low, which elevates his profile beyond where it should be. If you go back 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and you look at the Banzuke, the sixth highest ranked Rikishi on all of those Banzuke is in an Ozeki. And so by nature of where sumo is as a sport, it looks like, you know, he's further along in his development than where he is, and that's unfair to him, you know? So it's a big leap up to go from the 55% win rate that he has now to the 70% win rate that you need to have to be able to take that next step and go to Ozeki over three tournaments. I think that he will eventually do it. The early indications, though, is that Yokozuna, like his uncle, is going to be a bridge too far. And the reason why I say that is if you look at the last several Yokozuna, you really only have Kakuryu, who took a really long time to get that win rate up to the level where you can say his development's aggressive compared to the pack.
Yep.
You know, Kisuno Sato took a long time to get there, but he moved very quickly in the beginning as he, you know, got to Makuuchi at a very young age and moved up into Sanyaku at a very young age. So, you know, it's interesting that Andy said what he said, because what I was going to close on here is, if you were going to pick a name out of recent years that I think, based on his path right now, that his trajectory might follow, I think it's Goedo. And I think that, you know, he may be someone who has a long run in Sanyaku where it takes him a long time to get up to Ozeki. He gets there, he's in contention for a few years, maybe he wins one or two, and he does enough to hold on to the rank. I think he's a little bit above average results wise, and his rank reflects that.
So, and one of the key things that he's got, he seems to have a little bit more tools as far as the trips and some of the techniques. And so I guess I'm just curious about what will take him to the next level. Like you said, get him beyond the 55% to the 70%. I mean, that's a really very interesting stat that I kind of want to see how he pushes from I guess making the 8 and 7, getting to the 10 and 5s on a more consistent basis.
He needs to go visit the weight room a lot, a couple times a day for about a year. He'll get there. His technique's good. His attitude sucks. He knows how to do excellent sumo. He needs overwhelming strength, right? And traditional training methods won't necessarily get you there, as evidenced by people like Chiyono Fuji and Yoshikaze. Weight room, it's your friend. So let's go round one each and just talk about a couple of Rikishi. I know I mentioned him earlier in our podcast, but I'm going to say I actually think that this could be a bellwether tournament for Tobizaru. Is that he's unpredictable, right? He's not quite as unpredictable as Ura is, right? When people face Ura, they're like, I'm not going to get near you because God knows what you're about to do, right? And you can see everyone be completely hesitant and completely sort of like, nope, you're making not just the first move, the first two moves, and you're not grabbing anything on me, mister. But Tobizaru has shown an uncanny ability to think on his feet and to escape situations that, you know, rival those of Shodai, except that Tobizaru is a little more consistent about it. I think that this could... I'm looking, and I don't know if this is going to be the tournament, but I am looking for him to have a step change breakout tournament where he becomes a Sanyaku fixture. And the fact that he's up at M1 now, and that everyone is in somewhat random condition, given both the fact that we had the first Junyo in, what, 3 years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This past, intermission between the tournaments, which was, you know, that's going to have everyone off their new COVID era pace. For some people, it will have helped them. For other people, it will cause them some difficulties. And the fact that a lot of people sat out and a lot of people are sort of not quite in their regular groove, we're going to see a lot of ring rust, I think. And I think that if Tobizaru comes in hot, he could get enough wins early that could get him into double digits and put him into Sanyaku for Kyushu. Andy, do you got someone you want to talk about on the Banzuke or on that you are going to be watching for this tournament?
I think I'm particularly going to be watching Midori Fuji because I guess the mirror image of or the mirror on the Banzuke of Tobizaru, because he's got a similar size and energy, but he's also got kind of a unique style that is not it's not as common, and so he's kind of an unknown quantity among the current Sanyaku, other than Hoshoryu and a couple of the others that he's already beaten, and so I'm pretty bullish on Midori Fuji, although I'm watching Koto Nawaka quite a bit because I think that long term he's got more of the staying power, and I think that hopefully we're going to see quite a bit more development with Koto Nawaka, but yeah, for this tournament in particular, I think Midori Fuji is going to kind of be a very electric personality up there.
Josh, who's the one person you're really going to be watching the closest this tournament?
Well, I'm so happy that in our previous segment, I completely dashed all of your hopes and dreams about the two Rikishi that you guys just selected.
That's all right.
I think, well, I will just stay on that thread. I think Nagoya Basho was obviously disappointing for all of us, except for Ichinojo. But it was especially disappointing, I think, for Wakataka Kage the sense that, you know, he now has to completely restart his Ozeki run from scratch. And, you know, maybe, you know, we see a situation where, you know, there's a weak middle Basho in an Ozeki run where, you know, someone goes like 12-8-12 or something like that. But he's not going to be able to start the run with the 8 wins that he had last time out. So he's going to have to completely go from scratch. He's going to be 28 after Kyushu. So he's really kind of coming into his peak right now. He has 6 Kachikoshi in a row coming into this tournament, ranked in arguably the most difficult area of the Banzuke. And he absolutely, I think, has the technique to go on and become an Ozeki and go to the next level. So it doesn't look like fitness is an issue. I know, you know, those guys have been hosting all kinds of people over at Arashi Obeya. And I think we have to say, you know, all these guys who've come into the top division from that stable recently, they were there when Sokokurai took over.
Yeah.
But he has done an absolutely fantastic job of coaching these talents. And Wakataka Kage, his brother Wakamoto Haru, Kotoku-san, you know, who dropped out of the top division. And it looks like they've got some interesting recruits as well. And I think, you know, if Wakataka Kage can just get that restarted, you know, that would be you know, the cherry on the icing on the cake for those guys as they just continue to grow that story.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, is that Sokokurai's tenure as a coach and as a stable master just continues to pay off. The guy certainly knows how to run a stable. I'd like to bring up someone who's not in the top division yet, and that is dear old Asanayama, who blew the doors off of Sandanmei. And rightly so, the guy's still an Ozeki. I felt bad for all of the lower rankers who got to face him. So after going 7-0 and basically beating anyone who decided they were bold enough to take the dojo against him, he's now at Makushita 15. And if he should go Zensho again, faces a decent chance of landing in Juryo for the fall. I don't know. I'm going to be watching this closely. I was last time. On one hand, the guy was a complete jerk for the way he handled himself. On the other hand, I'd like to see him make a comeback. Josh, comment on that, please.
Sure. I've said before that I don't feel bad for those guys who got to face him down Sandanmei. I mean, it's a career highlight for those guys to get to face someone who's a Yusho winner. This will be a good tournament for him because, you know, there are actually still quite a few good names up at the top of Makushita that if, you know, he does keep himself on track for a Zensho, he might have to face. You know, that's been depleted a bit because a lot of those Makushita talents have already moved into Juryo, so he may have a little bit of an easier run of it than we thought. But, you know, a couple of guys from Naruto Bea, Oshoryu's up there, you know, Roga, who's kind of been kicking around trying to make that next step for a while. These are the kind of names that, you know, he could come into contention to face. Yoshi, who's super young and won the last Basho up there at Makushita 3. So, you know, it'll be interesting as things unfold and the way that it works in the lower divisions to see, you know, who's able to keep themselves undefeated, assuming that Asanoyama is as well and that he's able to come back. I think, you know, as we've been talking about, you know, at the start of this segment, this sort of expanded Sanyaku, there's a lot of guys who are at the top of the division right now, notably the two that you guys chose to follow for this tournament, who, in the absence of a force like Asanoyama, have the opportunity to go higher in the Banzuke than maybe they ordinarily would be able to. So like Abi and Ryuden and folks like that who have served their suspensions before him, I think we will see him back in the top division before too long.
All right, Andy, the only Rikishi ever to win the President's Cup. Give us your comments on Asanoyama.
Oh, I'm looking forward to him making it back up into the top division. I think that there is some risk that he will potentially drop one loss and go 6-1. But he's clearly the favorite for the Makushita Yusho. But there's just, you can't ignore the fact that there's so many former Sekitori who are still there in the, I mean, Ishiura, I'm not sure about the condition of his neck and whether he's going to be able to compete. But I mean, if you had Ishiura up against Asanoyama, I don't think that's an easy win.
No, I mean, he's not going to have easy. they are going to make it as hard as they can for him, and rightly so. And that's why I'm going to watch this guy, is because he's going to fight the hardest people they can throw at him.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of, many more challenging Rikishi up there at the top half of the Makushita. If they had planted him a bit deeper, he would have steamrolled through the lower part of the division.
Come on, man. That's a terrible thing to say. Planting him deeper, that's a terrible thing to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. It seemed like they were... With the way that they were punishing him, it seemed like they wanted to, really get through to him. But he does seem to be chastened. And so now kind of get the sense that, like, they've determined, hey, you've served your time. So now, I mean, I think that the Kyokai are not going to have any more punitive, because sometimes you just get the sense that five ranks here, five ranks there, when you're looking at the lower divisions, that sometimes the Kyokai was being a little bit punitive about something that might have happened. In this case, I think that they're trying to get Asanoyama back up to where he should be as quickly as possible. That said, I just think that there's a lot of talent that he's going to be facing, and a lot of guys who have either been Sekitori and want to get back, or who have not yet been Sekitori, like a Mukai Nakano, or, I mean, somebody, Fujisei and Yoshi, like Josh had mentioned, Roga. Like, there are a lot of guys who want to make it to the next level, and they're going to see a big target on Asanoyama's forehead.
Yeah, good scalp to collect. Okay, and with that, we're going to launch into our world famous, highly renowned, regrettable predictions, and it's my turn to go first this Aki. So I'll please, everyone, try not to yell or throw things at your screen, because here it comes. First of all, although I haven't talked about him at all during this podcast, I believe we will see the fourth Mitake Yumi Yusho this time out. And part of that is because, A, he had a close brush with demotion. B, he got some extra time off because of COVID to recover and get his act together. And C, he loves to surprise people with over-the-top performance, and maybe it's time. I also think that we're probably going to see Terunofuji out with COVID Kyujo. I think we're going to end on day 15 with Shodai Kataban again. And I think we're going to see Tobi Zaru, no surprise there, propelled into Sanyaku for November. And with now the stench cloud just starting to clear after my predictions, Josh, take it away.
So I've got three names who I think will be in Yusho contention. They're all people that Bruce is a super fan of, and he's got tattoos of their Shikona in some unmentionable place. I gotta say, this just seems like a tournament. This is probably the thing that I'll be most wrong about, that the winner comes from outside the top two ranks. As you say, Bruce, Terunofuji, is he going to be able to be in it for the whole 15 days for circumstances that are inside or outside of his control? It's tough to say. And I just can't trust a Nozeki. I haven't met Nozeki in several years that I feel like I can trust. So from that perspective, you look at it, the upper Maegashira to me look like a little bit of a mess. Ichinojo performed really well after 4-month layoff last time, and so that to me feels a little bit instructive, because the last time that we saw Bruce's favorite Takayasu after a 4-month break, he nearly won the Yusho, and he had some mental problems, it seemed like, that prevented him from doing that. He had some slips right at the end. So I think that he's going to have a big tournament, because, you know, we've talked about him before, and as I think, I don't know if it was you, Bruce, or if it was Andy, I think it was Andy, said, you know, Ichinojo has the kind of body that takes, you know, that amount of time to be able to heal problems that haven't been able to heal before. We've seen that before with Takayasu and how much he's benefited from having that extra time off. So I think he will have a very big tournament. Yeah, you can't pick Takayasu, though, without hedging your bets. So I think I'm going to say that the other two names in the frame for me are Waka Takakage, who I obviously talked about before. I think he's going to restart it. And I think the other name who I think has some unfinished business from the last Basho is Koto Nowaka, who was going really well. He was 7-3 when they pulled him out. He was right in the middle of the race. He's performed really strongly of late. And I think he has probably, if you look at all those guys in the upper Maegashira positions, probably one of the highest ceilings of any of them. So for me, if you look at, you know, day 10 and all three of those guys are in the Yusho race, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
The great sumo cat of the Kokugi-kan smiles upon you, Josh. That was excellent. All right, Andy, you always deliver the what the hell was that? So we're standing by.
Well, I was looking at Abi, but I'm not sure if he's even going to be able to compete. I really wanted, since he came back and served his time and came back up, he rose very, very quickly, and he's been able to stick around in the Sanyaku, even though it has been rather marginal performances at Sekiwake and Komusubi. He had not pushed any of the double-digit wins, and so I had really been hoping he would be able to do that here, but given the COVID diagnosis, it's not even a sure thing that he's going to be able to compete. So my number two is really Takakesho. We've not heard anything from him in a while. I'm hesitant to really put any faith in Shodai on a when he's not Katabon. Mitake Yumi, I still think he's not 100%. I mean, I think that he was impacted a little bit more by COVID than what we may know, because just how poorly he wrestled last time. And so I think that he may need another tournament in order to really get back into it. And so that's why I'm thinking Takakesho for the Yusho.
That would be great. All right, folks, there you have it. We're going to, of course, regret those within the first 4 days, if not sooner. And I thank you for following with us on our return to YouTube and to your podcast channels. This is Team Tachi. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Andy. And everyone, I'm Bruce Henderson, Associate Editor. Win at Sumo, think Tachi.